I'm Pat Morrison. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has cast himself as the Green Governor. His landmark greenhouse gas legislation was a model for the federal law now making its way through Congress. But the governor is at the point of, if he hasn't already, vetoed a piece of legislation coming out of the legislature that would require California to get a third of its energy from renewable sources by the year 2020. He substituted an executive order, which he says would do the job but would not damage jobs in California. Let's hear from Dan Pelosir, who is Deputy Cabinet Secretary for Energy Policy in the Schwarzenegger administration. Mr. Pelosir, why did the governor veto this?
Well, you know, the governor has not vetoed the bill yet. We have not received the bill. And hopefully he won't have to veto the bill. It could be pulled back, or we could negotiate some additional amendments in the weeks ahead. But the reason the governor issued the executive order is because we're running out of time to get the RPS expanded to 33%.
And the RPS is?
The Renewable Portfolio Standard. I'm sorry, I need to be more clear. The Renewable Portfolio Standard established and moving because the scoping plan that's required to reduce our GHGs, the plan that the Air Resources...
Here we go again, the GHGs.
Oh, I'm sorry. The global warming gases. The Air Board has until the end of next year to put in place all of the regulations that it needs to enforce the AB 32 plan. And we were disappointed that we weren't able to get legislation that we could sign at the end of the session, so we decided to move ahead, direct the Air Board to develop the regulation itself under its current authority, and if the legislature has we'd like to work with the legislature in order to make the bill, get a bill that works for everybody in the weeks ahead.
So you're saying that there's still a chance that the bill could line up with what the governor would like it to be and would line up with the executive order, and there might not be a veto after all.
That's right. We, you know, the governor has expressed repeatedly over the last few days that he would like to negotiate legislation, and we could use the vehicles that were passed by the legislature. They can be withdrawn, which is a common practice. They can be amended, and they could be bills that he could sign.
Joe Simidian is the senator from the 11th District, which includes Santa Cruz and Palo Alto. He's a Democrat and the author of SB 14, which is the 33% renewable energy by 2020 measure. Senator, thank you for being here.
Pleasure.
Now, the governor's office says, look, one of the problems here is that it doesn't allow us to get as much energy as we like from sources outside the state of California. Do you think the amendments to this bill address that satisfactorily or to the governor's satisfaction?
I think it's an important point, one we need to clarify. There is no limit in the bill, none whatsoever, on the amount of out-of-state green energy that we could bring here to California. Theoretically, if we wanted to get 100% of our renewable energy from outside California, the legislation that is on its way to the governor does allow that. The debate is about something called renewable energy credits, which is a system by which we let folks claim they've reached their renewable energy goals by getting essentially a piece of paper from some out-of-state renewable generator who has sent us that piece of paper and may have sent us, frankly, you know, dirty energy backed by a lump of coal, while generating clean energy on another day and sending it off in the other direction altogether. So there's no limit on the amount of green energy, clean energy, renewable energy that could actually come into California. As little or as much as the market will accommodate is allowed by the bill. But I think people want to know that they're really getting green energy, clean energy, and renewable energy here in California, and that we're not simply getting a piece of paper from out of state from somebody who's never sent us a bit of renewable energy whatsoever.
Mr. Pelosir, Senator Simidian's concern seems to be that the out-of-state utilities will be playing a kind of shell game with California.
Well, the issue here, and this is it becomes very complicated very quickly, but the issue, the simplest way to understand this is the entire western United States and part of Canada and the northern part of Mexico are all part of the Western Interconnection. And power flows across the Western Interconnection according to the laws of physics, not according to the laws that are written in any particular state. So, and to recognize that, you need to know that what we want to do is maximize the amount of renewable electricity that's produced in the Western Interconnection, because that's where we draw all of our power from. So we would like to share with other states the ability to produce renewable energy that's used in California, that's placed on the grid, and then distributed across the grid, again, according to the laws of physics and not the laws that are generated by legislatures.
Senator Simidian, would this bill throw up an energy border fence around California?
No. Let me say first and foremost, though, I'm delighted to hear Mr. Pelosi say that the governor's office is still open to talking. Look, I've had good luck working with this governor over the years. This is the governor who signed the 20% renewable requirement for 2010, which I authored a number of years ago. So we've worked together on these issues before. We've gotten to yes before, and I hope we can again. I appreciate that shout-out from Mr. Pelosi on the other end of the line. But again, I want to be clear. The laws of physics, I agree. We've got to be mindful of the laws of physics. We've also got to be mindful of the laws of the marketplace. And if there's somebody out there with 50 units of dirty energy and 50 units of clean energy, and right now they're sending us their dirty energy and calling it clean energy and not adding any new renewable energy to the marketplace, I don't think that's anything we want to incentivize, let alone have California ratepayers pay for. So, those laws of physics, we've got to match them up against the laws of the marketplace, and we've got to make sure that we let real renewable energy come across the borders, which this bill does in unlimited amounts. And if we're going to have some of those credits, let's make sure that they're real, that they're verifiable. And we've allowed up to 30% of the renewable requirement to come from those renewable energy credits. Seemed to me that was a good way to give energy companies all the flexibility they need, and yet still try and provide some real incentive for investment and jobs here in California. I mean, this is the California state legislature. It's a California governor. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying we want to see the benefits of clean and green energy accrue to California ratepayers. I think that makes all the sense in the world.
We're talking about the governor and the legislature. The legislature sent to the governor a bill that would mandate 33% renewable energy sources for California by the year 2020. The governor poised to veto it if it doesn't allow for some sourcing of energy from beyond California's borders. Dan Pelosier, what we just heard from Senator Simidian, his concern is, he says it's not about physics, it's really about a paper trail to make sure that green is green.
Well, I think there's some issues that we need to work out. We are in agreement with the general provisions and policies that Senator Simidian and others in the legislature have been pushing. This is an issue where I think the governor felt it was important to, after about a year and a half of trying to work on this. This is not something that just started now. It's an issue that started about a year and a half ago when we tried to get legislation to increase it to 33%, and we did not make any significant progress. And then at the end of the legislative process last year, there was a bill that the governor just couldn't sign. So in that context, we started up again this year. We tried to work closely with the legislature. We, in fact, sent them a letter on May 22nd that outlined the things that the governor wanted to see in the legislation, things that were important to us. And when it came right down to it, the bills that we saw in the waning days and in the final hours didn't quite measure up to the provisions that we had laid out. So we want to get started. This is important. We can't wait. We certainly can't wait till January to do this. So if there's something we can do in the short term, that's great. I'd like to address one other issue, though, and I clearly understand and respect Senator Simidian's emphasis on trying to get renewable power built and developed here in California. That's our goal, too. About 90% of the contracts that have been signed by the state's investor-owned utilities to take renewable power are for projects that are built in California. But you have to be very careful when you're starting.
Let me just interrupt here for a minute and say, if 90% of the contracts are for California renewable energy, and I've been willing in the legislation I've authored to say up to 30% could come across the borders in the form of renewable energy credits, sounds to me like that's more than enough flexibility to meet that gap.
Well, but that's for the current amount of renewable contracts that will help us get to the 20% goal, but not to the 33% goal. But there's another very important thing here that the governor's talked about, but evidently hasn't been heard, which is the any type of barrier that you erect or any type of disadvantage that you place on a product that's produced outside of the state of California is very, very likely to violate the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause.
Hang on again. We've talked over and over and over again about the fact that this energy can come in unlimited amounts from across state lines. There is no impediment and therefore no Commerce Clause issue with respect to real energy that comes across the state boundary. But the U.S. Constitution certainly doesn't say that we have to take a meaningless piece of paper that calls itself green and clean when really what's behind it is a lump of coal in another state.
Well, we would certainly look forward to working with Senator Simidian to make sure that we all understand the key components of this policy. And if we can reach a meeting of the minds in the weeks ahead and give everybody a chance to become comfortable with language that's developed in the public eye that we can all see, instead of, you know, in the late of night and in committee hearings that are called at the last minute, it would make everyone feel more comfortable that we weren't charting a course that was going to be difficult to operate the system, might cost more money, and potentially could all be held up on a court challenge to the legality of erecting barriers to energy in California.
All right, Senator Simidian, is it just a question of working out the wrinkles in this at this point, that to make other energy companies say, yes, this is green and here's how we prove it?
I think we're awfully close. Look, the bill that I'm sending off to the governor has support from really a wide range of the players in this renewable energy world. We've got the folks at PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, as well as the folks at Sempra Energy, as well as the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, all of whom support the bill and say they can make it work and get to 33%. They're backed by folks in the environmental community, the Sierra Club, Environment California. They're backed by folks in the labor world who say, you know what, we think some clean and green jobs here in California would be a good thing. And the ratepayer advocates, the folks at TURN, have also said, we're for the Simidian bill, we're for the Krikorian bill, which is the complement to this measure. I think if we're that close, we ought to be able to find a compromise with the governor if both sides are willing to work in good faith. And again, I appreciate Mr. Pelletier's offer to do that. I was on the phone first thing Monday morning after the governor gave some indication that he had further concerns and said, hey, let's try and put it together and see if there's a way to get to yes. And I think that's what the public wants from us. I think, you know, here's a place where Mr. Pelletier and I can definitely agree. I think the public wants us to roll up our shirt sleeves and solve these problems. The governor says he's for 33%. I say I'm for 33%. We've got a bill that had wide-ranging support. There ought to be a way to get to yes, and I'm hopeful we'll find that way.
Gentlemen, thank you. When we come back, we're going to be talking about whether there is enough energy being generated anywhere to meet California's one-third consumption standard by 2020. And what about some of the Republican objections that this is a job killer? My thanks to Dan Pelletier, the Deputy Cabinet Secretary for Energy Policy, to Governor Schwarzenegger, and Senator Joe Simidian, the Democrat of the 11th District.